Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, this will be part number two on our series of deal structuring, where we're creating one offer per episode and coming up with the exit strategy. So in our last episode, if you didn't catch that, we made an offer that would be tailored to finding a owner occupant as our exit strategy, and that way with the purchase price and the terms we're getting it on, we would be selling it on terms to this owner occupant. We would mark up the purchase price, we would mark up the interest rate once a month so that we get a little cash flow, and then because of our principal pay down, we would get a chunk of money on the back end. So that deal total, I think we were, after the 3-year term, we were at like 48,000 that we can make on that deal. So it was like 13 up front, a cash flow of, I think like 2,800 a year or something like that. It was like
220 a month, something like that.
Yeah. And then $27,000, on the back end of that, from the difference of from our balloon payment to the balloon payment that the owner occupant would be required to come up with. So we're going to come up with option number two on this deal. And again, this is a 2-bed, 1.5-bath condo. It's over 1,000 square feet. The seller is asking 170. Their payment is $410 a month. They only owe $30,000 on it. So there's a ton of equity there. And their HOA is $140 a month. And this property could rent out somewhere around $1,150 a month. So those are the numbers on there. So Jeff, I was asking if you're going to do a subordination for your second offer, but you told me no. So
nope.
So are you thinking of coming up with another offer for an owner occupant again?
Yes, sir. That is exactly what we're going to do. See, so the first offer we made is short term, 4 years. And by the way, if you listen to the last episode, we only went 3 years. Why did we only go 3 years? Mostly because I don't want to take my buyer all the way to the term that I have. If for whatever reason he or she can't refinance the property, I want some time to go try to find a buyer and get this property sold.
Right.
Could we have gone another 6 months, 9 months, a year? Yeah, but we could have, and we would have made more money. Option two is that when you're presenting the seller multiple options, you've got to make a big enough difference between the different options for them to have a choice. If this looked too much like the other one, there's really no choice. And in reality, they're just looking at one offer rather than two. So here's a second offer. Similar, but structured a little differently. And I'll show you why we're going to do that. But let's see if we can get their attention with a second offer for longer term, which is going to give you a few more ideas on what you might want to do with it in terms of exit strategy.
Okay.
All right.
You thinking around kind of the same down payment?
Well, it's got to be around there because
we have to get in line.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of room to work with here, right? So we offered $7,000 down on option one. This one, we're going to offer a higher price. So even though that the seller's asking 170, we made an offer where we offered them 170.
Right.
Why don't we offer them a little more if they're willing to stay in it a little longer? You know, let's try to entice them.
Like 175?
I went up to 180.
Oh, 180, okay.
180.
Okay.
Now, the down payment that we offered 7 on our first offer, if we offer 10,000, we're already over 5%.
Yeah.
We want to be a little careful here because, remember, when we're dealing with owner-occupants, you know, our expectation should be that we're going to get about 10% down.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're not comfortable with how much money you may make up front, it's because you're offering too much money. Could you get more money up front from an end buyer? Yeah, it might happen, but I wouldn't go in expecting it.
Yeah. Great point.
Okay, so that's all you need to know right there. Okay, so that we're going to raise the price a bit, and we're going to offer a little higher down payment. Now, Jonathan, last option, we did what?
We did 7K down, 170K offer price at the 2.5% interest.
So it was like that hybrid, right?
Yeah.
So really what I'm trying to get at is, so the first offer, what we did is, And you brought this up during, I can't remember if it was just in between the two episodes or if you did it before we talked, but you asked about that first mortgage.
Yeah.
Like, hey, how far along are you into that first mortgage? Because a lot of that, you know, there's only so much that could be going toward principal, right? I mean, if the total mortgage is $410 and we were guessing about $100 goes toward escrow. I mean, there's only so much that can go toward principal, but probably a large portion of it is at this point. It seems like this may have been a mortgage for a while that's paying down, you know, $225, $250 a month in principal pay down, something like that.
Right.
Okay. So we're gonna try to structure that. So we're gonna get the benefit of that principal pay down, plus we're going to create some more principal pay down. So the whole point of that hybrid, that 2.5%, you know, I like to call simple interest, is to give us some flexibility on what the payment will be, and to still get principal pay down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we definitely want principal pay down here. We're paying more than what the seller's asking for.
Right.
Okay. So but we're going to offer 180 and we're going to give them $10,000 down. And we're basically going to say, we're going to give you a first trust deed and note.
Okay.
For the same exact amount as your existing note. So it's called the mirror. We're going to do a contract for deed, an all-inclusive trust deed and note that's going to be exactly the same as their underlying mortgage terms. Okay.
Right.
So our payment will be $410 a month. Now PITI.
Okay.
Okay. And for about $30,000. Well, actually, not $30,000, but whatever the mortgage balance is, right? So, we're going to give. If we have $170,000, I wrote this up wrong. That's not good. And I'm surprised he didn't take this offer. Okay, so that first is going to be for about $30,000, which is about what the seller owes.
Okay.
The second is going to be the difference, you know, what's still owed to the seller, the seller's equity,
yeah,
which is about $140,000. That's 140 plus the 30 that we're giving him on the first, plus the $10,000 down payment, right?
Okay.
All those have to add up to the purchase price.
Right.
Okay. So I want this to pay down quickly too. And so what's our monthly payment? But what on option one, we kind of gave the most amount of money we could give the seller, right? We were looking at being, you know, trying to structure it for a landlord, but we ended up giving him $800 a month, which is pretty much the most that we could.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So we could structure this payment to be a little less, a little more, but something in that range, but we probably don't want to go much higher, right? Because we only had a $220 a month cash flow to begin with.
Yeah.
So what I did is I just did a $400 a month principal only payment.
Oh, okay.
So now I'm paying $400 a month on this payment, and I'm paying the $410 on the first. So it's a total of $810, which is very similar to the $800, right? I'm giving up $10 a month cash flow, but I'm getting $400 a month principal pay down, and I'm getting whatever that pay down is on the first, which might be another $200, $225. So we're basically getting like a $600+ a month principal pay down by doing it this way, taking advantage of what may be a loan that's been around a while that's got more principal pay down. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so here's where the difference comes in is the last one we structured it 4 years. This one we want a little longer term. We're offering more money. We're giving them more money up front, and they're actually getting a slightly better cash flow.
Yeah.
So now we're going to ask for 7 years.
7 years.
Okay.
84 months.
84 months. So let's figure out. Wow, I can't believe I screwed this up so bad. So if you just take 400 times 84, it's 33,600, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to minus that from that principal balance of 140. Okay. So we have 106,400. That will be the amount that we owe the seller at the end of the term, plus whatever is left on the remaining note on the underlying first, right?
Yeah.
So in 7 years, that could be close to being paid off. Right. So we'll probably be into this for, at this point, maybe 118,000 total at the end of 7 years.
Okay.
Okay. So what does this do for us? Well, what we could do is exactly what we did on option one with our exit strategy, except that we could give a seller a longer period of time. What can you normally do? If it's, when I say seller, I mean buyer, you can give the buyer a longer period of time to qualify for a loan. Here we can go up to 7 years now. But typically when you're able to offer a buyer more time, what can you expect to get from that buyer?
More money up front.
You can get more money up front. You could get a higher purchase price.
Yep.
Or you could get a higher monthly payment or a combination thereof.
Right.
Okay. But let's just go based on, we're going to get exactly what we got in option one, except that now we're going to extend it a little bit. So let's say that we're going to sell this for $200,000.
Okay.
And we're going to get $20,000 up front from our buyer. They still owe us $180.
Yep.
We're going to, we could probably up this a little bit. And that'll be what everyone has to decide on. And To be honest, most buyers don't care about the interest rate. What they care about is the monthly payment.
Amen.
So if the monthly payment still makes sense, they don't care what the interest rate is.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's just stay at 5.5%. I don't want to get crazy here, and I want to show that you can make money even doing this conservatively.
Okay.
So so we have 180,000 at 5.5%. So
looking for the monthly payment?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that 1,022.02.
Okay. And let's say that we're going to give them 6 years in this case, right?
Yeah.
So we'll have 72 in, and then we'll figure out our future value. So they still owe us $163,238.
Right.
So if we remember from the first example, so now we're getting 20 grand up front. We're giving the seller a little more money. So we're only making 10 grand up front.
Right.
We were making $220 a month. We're paying $10 more a month to the seller. So we're making $210 a month.
Right.
Okay. What was our guess at what we still owed?
Like 106 or something?
106 is what the seller's equity would be, plus then we still have this $30,000 mortgage. So let's say that $200 goes toward principal on that. So let's say we're down to like $13,000. So let's say we owe 120 total, okay? So we'd make $43,000 on the back end. We make that 10 up front, $53,000. And then we make $2,400 a year for 6 years. So another $15,000.
Okay.
Pretty good on a pretty kind of tight deal. That, by the way, what do you do on this deal once you find the buyer? Do you fix anything? Do you get calls?
Nope.
You don't.
Not the landlord.
Nope. However, could you look at doing something a little differently here? You could. Maybe you want to do a lease option. Probably get 12, maybe 1250 a month in rent, but you're going to have to pay taxes and insurance. You'd have to pass that HOA on to your tenant buyer.
Right.
You'd make a little more cash flow. You could probably sell the property for right around the same 200, 205, something like that. You may have a little money stuck in this up front because I don't know if you're going to get your full 10 grand back. You might be able to. And now you would get that monthly cash flow. You'd have no money or very little money stuck in this deal.
Yeah.
You'd be getting the depreciation tax benefit of the whole thing while you own this property. And the end of, let's say, 5, 6, 7 years, if the your balance is still going down. So at the end of 7 years, you still only owe 120, right?
Right. Yep.
120, 115, whatever, somewhere in there. But your buyer still owes you like 195.
Yeah.
So you still make that cash flow, maybe even a little bit more, but you've got a big back end coming.
Yeah.
So this would be one where you're helping this buyer, you know, fix their credit. Maybe not right away, you know, maybe 3-4 years into it. It's like, hey, let's get you going. And I'll work to the point where you can refinance this. Or in this case, it wouldn't be a refi, it would be a purchase. But you could look at doing something like that. But the reason that I like to structure it this way is, one, we're getting a longer term. We're taking advantage of the second, that first mortgage that might be gaining some principal pay down as well. And we're able to offer the seller even more money, both up front and as a purchase price. Because it doesn't really matter what offers you make if they never get accepted. So we've still got to make this enticing for a seller to accept, right? Otherwise, it doesn't matter if we put together this great offer that, you know, we'd make all this money. But if the seller doesn't accept, we have nothing. So right. We've got to get that done. Still make it work for us where we can make some money on it.
Right. Okay. Well, I like the idea of just taking over there first with a mirror trust deed and then just offering principal pay down $400 a month. That's something I wouldn't have thought of, or I didn't think of, I should say, when we were talking about that. Because my question is, like, how do we offer more and kind of keep our payment the same right around? And so that's interesting.
And you could have gone in and just offered them like $300 a month cash flow, maybe yeah. even extended the term another year or two. You are paying them $10,000 more. You are giving them $3,000 more up front. Yeah, I think that's a fair trade-off. And yeah, the longer the term, one, the easier for people. People will be more interested in your deals just automatically. Owner-occupant, investors, they all want longer terms. And so if you're able to get a longer term, that's just easier to sell. And in this case, a longer term typically means that you can pay the seller more too, because it's over a longer period of time. You're going to get some of that principal pay down. And if you know how to structure that principal pay down, what does it matter? Even at $300 a month, principal only, well, $400, which is what I ended up offering him. In 2 years, basically, I'm right back to where I was with option one. But I ended up getting a third year. Could have easily asked for another year or two, to make it worth my while. And you're going to see a lot more of this as, you know, the market kind of shifts a little bit and, people become a little more motivated to sell their houses.
Right. Right. Cool. Well, we'll wrap it up right there then, Jeff. Guys, thanks so much for listening. If you want to get a hold of us, you can do so on our hotline, 877-409-8090. You can find all of our episodes at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. And by the way, if you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, call that hotline and mention that specifically. But keep in mind that it's an apprenticeship program focused on wholesaling, and it's not just specifically on creative financing. We do have a course that we're rolling out, if it's not out already, that is an online course focused specifically on creative financing. So it'll be an online platform, video-based, where you can learn that. So we're working on that as we speak, or it will be rolled out by the time this episode comes out. So, and then we're also on Facebook at the Creative Financing Podcast and Instagram as well. Any last words, Jeff?
Nope, I think you covered it all. We mentioned this on the last episode that we have gone over 100,000 downloads. We're really interested in trying to get the word out and, you know, double, triple our listening ship. And we can only do that with your help. So if share, like, review us, help us get the word out. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for mentioning that. Okay, guys, until next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.